We're continuing the Shir in Likutei Halachos, Or HaChaim, Chelek Aleph, Hilchos Netilas Yadayim Shachris, Halacha Dalid, Paragraph Zayin. V'ze Bechinas Chaloyim Paroi. What we've been discussing till now is also related to the dream that Paroi had, Shetikunoi Al Yedei Yosef. The tikun, the resolution of Paroi's dream, was through Yosef HaTzadik, Sheposaroisoi, he's the one who interpreted Paroi's dream. Shekoiren Zois HaParsha Bimei Chanukah. This happens to be the portion of the Torah that we're up to on the holiday of Chanukah, and we know that nothing happens to be. It's written in many Sforim that the Parsha of the week that we read every week is definitely connected to the calendar, to the events, the calendar events that surround that port. For example, the Parsha of the week this week is V'zois HaBrocha, and this usually comes around the time of Yom Kippur, Sukkos, and there are Sforim that elaborate, that show beautiful, beautiful connections between what's written in Parshas V'zois HaBrocha and how it ties into the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, Yom Kippur, Sukkos, all kinds of beautiful connections. So here he's telling us that the fact that we read Miketz, the Parshas Vayeshev and Miketz, usually around the holiday of Chanukah, there's obviously very important connections there. Ki paroi ro'o ba'eis shena, shenimshach mebchinas bitul kanal, ro'oz ech sheva porois horois, boilim sheva porois hatoivois. Paroi saw in his sleep, and we learned earlier that sleep is a form of bitul. Sleep is one of those aspects of a Jew's life where the person sort of lets go of the body almost completely. The body shuts down 98% when a person's sleeping. Proof is that we make a bracha every morning, Hamachzir Neshamois Lefegorim Mesim. We refer to our state of sleep as Peger, a corpse in death. And when we wake up in the morning, we're being brought back, being given new life. So this is one of the terms that's used in Sifrei Chassidus and Kabbalah, is the term bitul. Bitul means usually where a person negates the physical or the materialistic. So Paroi saw in his dream the seven ugly cows, the seven bad cows, swallowing up the seven good cows. Shehu bechinas hisgabrus horo al atoiv. This is an example of the evil taking over the good. Hainu hisgabrus hazayin midois rois al hazayin midois hatoivois. And the fact that there were seven there, seven good, seven bad, represents the seven bad midois taking over the seven good. The seven good midois refers to chesed, gevura, tefer, those midois of Hashem. We're taught in Sifrei Kabbalah that there's always ze leumas ze osa lekim, that Hashem has created everything parallel, good and bad. It started with the Eitz Hadas, Tov V'ra, and because Adam Rishon chose to partake from that, that defined how our lives in this world are going to be until Mashiach comes, that there's going to have to be good and bad, and there's going to have to be a balance maintained always. If there's seven good, there's got to be seven bad. And that's what's shown here. Ad asher vatovoino el kirbena, to the point where the Torah says this went so far that the seven good cows were swallowed up, went inside the seven bad, veloi noida kibo el kirbena, and they disappeared completely. It's like the seven skinny cows remained skinny. They swallowed up these fat cows and went back to being perfectly skinny, as if those seven good cows never happened. It's as if there never was any good. The good disappears to such a point where you can't even recognize that it ever existed. And this is a very important point. Ki kol kach mezgaberes ha-sitra achra b'chol pam, because when the sitra achra, when the other side, when the forces of tumah and evil get powerful enough, they reach such a state of power, to the point where they want to make a person forget completely, as if the person never had a good day in their lives. There's this word in English called the never word. And this is a word that plays a tremendous role in Shalom Bayit in every aspect of our lives. Where there are many Jews who, when things get hot, when things get difficult, that word never comes up. You never care, you never, never that never word is one of the main words of the Sitra Achra. And Rav Nosson Zal is telling us that the movie, where this was shown in a movie, was in Paro's dream. The Torah is showing you black and white, that this is how the Sitra Achra, this is one of the incredible powers of the Sitra Achra, that it starts off that there's good and bad, and the good is very real, and it's at least as big as the bad. However, when the bad takes over, the bad has the ability to make it appear as if there was never any good. And that's the worst thing in the world. All of us know that when a person is in a state of mind where they know that there's good and bad, most of us can live with that sort of. If I know I'm having a bad day, to what I would call a bad day today, but I know that tomorrow might that as bad as today is, it's very possible and very likely that tomorrow is going to be different, because that's how life is in this world. If I know that, it's possible to handle it. The minute I fall into that state where I see only bad, and I'm convinced that there never was any good, I forget completely the good, then there's that the big D word, the depression, and all kinds of other terrible, terrible things that most of our generation is dealing with, most people today are dealing with. And again, Hashem showed the movie in Chumash. It's Chumash and Rashi. It's right there, but you need a Rav Nosson Zal. Rav Nosson Zal presents this topic in about 15 different places in the Kutei Halachos and gives 15 different incredible explanations. And each time making this perfectly clear, once somebody knows this, he's got a secret weapon like. This puts him so far ahead of everybody else who falls into that never situation, and then chas v'shalom, the person's lost. So this is the work of the Sitra Achra, sheroitzeh lahashkiach. He wants to get the person to forget. Bechol pam, all the every day, every week, he wants the person to forget, as if the person never saw any good in their life. Afal pisha betchila be'es habitul ro'o rakes hatoiv. Even though when the person started the beetle state, they saw only good. The first frames of that movie were seven good, fat, delicious-looking cows. There was only good there. Shein bechina zayin porois hatoivos. Achro, however, parois saw shetekev acharkach, that immediately afterwards, somuch lohokitzoi, which was when he was about to wake up, because we see right after the seven bad swallowed seven good, it says he woke up. So when he was coming out of the beetle, remember, sleep, we said, is an example of beetle. So in the beginning of the beetle, the first round, phase one was, everything's good. Phase two was, everything's bad, and so bad that the bad eliminates the good to the point where the good disappears totally, as if it never happened. Dehainu kishemaschil loshuv mehabitu, meaning right before Paro woke up, when he's starting to come out of that state of bitul, choizrim umizgabrim achar kach sheva porois horois, the seven bad cows become so powerful, shehem hora, they represent the evil, the negativity, the problems. She'oirev umizgaber, umizgare, umizgaber beyoyser acharkach, who lie in waiting, and they tease the person, and they rise up with tremendous strength afterwards, after the person is coming down from that beetle, after the person had a tremendous high, a tremendous good experience, where he saw all good, the moment he starts coming back to earth, back to civilization, the Yetzirah has the ability to paint a picture that's so bad, so terrible, that the person could mamish forget that it was, the person could actually use that never word. And again, all of us see that in life. And if you grab the person who said that and said, hold on a second, stop, I want to ask you tell me the real truth. Is it never? No, I didn't mean never, but then how did you get to that word? How does a Jew let that word out of their mouth, never? The answer is, it's in the Torah. This is what the Sitra Achra is capable of doing. He's capable of pushing a person, backing a person against the wall, where the person could mamish forget that it was ever good, chas v'shalom. V'zeh shenismach hisgabru saporois rois lohokitzoi. And Rav Nosson says, this is why, if you look at the positioning, how that story evolves in the Chumash, that final act of the seven bad swallowing the seven good is followed immediately. He woke up. And then he woke up, meaning back to earth. Whenever a person has a tremendous high, a tremendous positive experience, when they're coming back down, as soon as they touch ground, suddenly the screen goes black, chas v'shalom. K'moy shekos v'shalom, as it says right there, Umar ehen ra kivorishoina, that those skinny cows went back to looking ugly just like before, they swallowed those fat cows totally. Vo'ikots, and I woke up, Paro says. So we see how the timing is in this thing. Rav Nosson is showing you the timeline of how this works. V'chein b'chol ha-parsha, and so too, if you follow the rest of the parsha, the parsha smiketz, you see this same pattern. Hainu kanal, as we described earlier. V'tikunoi, and who resolved Paro's dream? Al yedei Yosef, through Yosef HaTzadik, shezocho letachlis habitul b'shlemos koroi. Yosef HaTzadik was one of the great tzadikim who was zeichet to achieve bitul, this term bitul, to the highest level and to do it properly. We spoke in the previous year, we mentioned a few different examples of bitul. Sleep is an example of bitul. Humility is an example of bitul. You have a person who's 200 pounds and he owns two homes and a car, and the person says, you ask the person, hey, who are you? The person says, I'm nothing. I'm nobody. I'm nothing. Hashem is there. You have such a beautiful, I don't have that. Well, I have a house. It's my house. Hashem gave me the house. What are you saying? I have such a, making it sound like it's mine. Who am I? What am I? I'm an ant. The way the Torah teaches a Jew to have humility, to know our place, to know we come from nothing, we come from a droplet, and going back to dirt, we are zero. Anything that we accomplish in this world is through the help of Hashem and Hashem's good grace. So this is also an example of this bitul. And we saw earlier, Rav Nosson Zal had showed Moshe Rabbeinu, who said, V'nachnu mo. He was an example of a tzaddik who achieved this level of bitul to perfection. And now Rav Nosson Zal is going to show us how Yosef HaTzadik is also on that list. Bibchinas, as the Pasuk says, when Yaakov Avinu gives the bracha to Yosef HaTzadik, he says to him, Ben Poiros Yosef, Ben Poiros Alei Oyin. He uses the words Alei Oyin, and the Gemara says, Ole Ayin. Rashi HaKodesh over there quotes, Ole Ayin, She Yosef, Bechinas HaTzadik Ho'emes, Ole Al Ho'ayin. The term Alei Ayin means that Yosef HaTzadik goes beyond the eye, above the eye. Kihu soisem einov mechezu dahai alma legamri. Because he was one of those great tzaddikim who, despite living in this physical, materialistic world, he was able to close his eyes completely to the gashmias, to the tests of this world, to all the negative things of this world. Ve'ein loy shum histaklus bozeh ho'olam afilu keheref ayin. He's not looking at this world even the tiniest drop. A true tzaddik is one who's able to block out, to negate the olam hagashmi completely. Because what is the olam hagashmi? It's a distraction. It's one big distraction from Hashem. Notice there's Hashem, when in the beginning there was only Hashem. Then at some point Hashem decided to create the world. What is the world? The world is a creation of Hashem, but the Yetzer Hara, the Satan, turns the world. And a person would say, like, who's the main character in this world? Who's in charge? Who is everything here? It's Hashem. And who's the only invisible guy? Who's the guy who has the lowest profile possible in this world? Hashem. To the point where the majority of the world denies Hashem. They don't know he exists, or they don't want to know he exists, period. So the tzaddikim, the way the Sifrei Chassidus define tzaddikim, the way they describe tzaddikim, A tzaddik is a person who comes into this world and does not allow himself to be distracted one iota by the entire... He sees through it all. He sees, like the opening line in Shulchan Aruch, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid. I put Hashem in front of me all the time. What do you mean Hashem? There's a big piece of delicious, juicy watermelon in front of you. What are you looking at Hashem? You're looking at the what? I'm not looking at the watermelon. I'm looking at Hashem. Proof is, when I say Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam Barei, I'm saying it for real. My mind isn't 99% on the watermelon in the pits. My mind is 99.9% on Hashem, 1% on the watermelon. And I'm just using that as an example of the concept of tzaddikim who are focused totally on Hashem, and they don't let the world, the physical world, distract them or ensnare them, trap them into any of its trappings, to get caught in any temptations, sins, all kinds of things that are coming at us every second from all sides. So he says, when the Torah describes Yosef HaTzadik as Alei Ayin, it's defining he was one of those great tzaddikim who was above the eyes, meaning he was able to close his eyes to the physical world to be able to look past this world. Because Rabbi Nachman had explained in this chapter in Likutei Moharan that just like on a physical level, when a person can see so far, if they want to increase their vision, what do? You squint. When you narrow the opening of the eye, that gives the ability to look further than when the eye is open full. So Rabbi Nachman says, if a person wants to be able to look out of this world, past this world, the way you do it is by closing your eyes completely to the physical world. A Jew who's able to close his eyes, not to look at the distractions, the temptations of this world, and to be focused on Hashem, to be focused on our goal, which is the world to come. That this is just a hallway, this is just a staircase, this is a temporary, we're in transit now, we're all in transit now. And a person who has that realization, that gives the person the ability to look past this world, to be looking into Olam Haba. V'alkein nikro oile ayin. That's why Yosef HaTzadik is called oile ayin. Ki hu oile al ho'ayin u'moshel alav. Because he goes above the eye. When something is above something, it means it rules over it. He's in full control of the eye. The eye doesn't control him like it does most of us. The Gemara says, the eye sees, the heart desires, and the rest of the organs jump to execute, right? That's the pattern of sin. That's the pattern of the mistakes that people make in life. The tzaddikim nip it at the bud. Step one, they know the whole trick is control of the eyes. If I'm in control of the eyes, then the satan can't throw stuff up on my screen to have me see what he wants me to see, and then have my heart follow the next step, and then... The tzaddikim are the ones who master the eyes completely, complete control. And they're not interested in looking at anything they're not supposed to, in looking at anything that's going to take them away from Hashem in any way. Kimi sheyesh lo histaklos bozeh ho'ilam, because a person who is looking at this physical world, person who is allowing themselves to get caught up at looking at the interesting things in this world, kifi histaklusoi, to the degree that the person is looking, kein hu tachas ho'ayim. To that degree, they're under the control of the eye. The eyes are controlling them. You have an example of food. You have a person who ate, and they ate, and they're pretty comfortable. They're not hungry at all. And then somebody brings out a piece of something delicious, a delicious, incredible, delicious-looking piece of cake or something like that. And now the person starts thinking, yes, no, yes, no, and of course, yes. I'll have three of those, etc. And the person stops to think, this is so ridiculous. If you wouldn't have shown it to me, I wouldn't have talked. I finished. Why did you have to show it? The answer is because most of us are not in full control of the eye, we don't have the ability to see it and just look the other way, not interested. So I saw it, big deal. What does seeing it have to do with me knowing? I know my stomach, I'm two-thirds full. The Rambam says that as soon as you're two-thirds full, you're off the table, you're out, that meal is over. That session is completed. So why in the world are we going to 100 And then 200 and 300% of what our eating. People eat till it hurts. The answer is, unfortunately, a lot of that, because I see it. It's if I see it, and once I saw it, it's very difficult to get out of it. Meaning, we're tachas ayin. Ki ha'ayin moishel olav, because his eye, the eye is ruling over him, me'achar shenimshach achar enov. Because he's following his eyes, he's being drawn by, he's being led by the eyes. Kimoshom Razal, as the Gemara says in Sota, Al Kama, speaking about several individuals who ended up falling into terrible temptations with women and other things, the Gemara uses the wording Sheholach Acharenov. He followed his eyes. By Shimshon HaGibor, it says he saw a woman, and it says the wording in the Gemara is Shimshon. Holach acharenov. That's the terminology that's used in the Gemara. Shezeu b'chinas, and this is why we say in Kriya Shema, v'loisosuru acharei levavchem v'acharei neichem. That an observant Jew, that you do not turn to your heart or to your eyes. Meaning, sheloisia ho'ayin roya v'halev choymeit sholten olav. Don't allow your eye that sees and your heart that desires to control you. Rakhu yizgaber alehayin valei, but rather a Jew has to conquer, to be in charge of, in full control of his eyes and his heart, v'yal alehim, and go above them, v'yimshol b'hem, and rule over them, v'bechinas, as it says by Yosef HaTzadik, oilei ayin, that he rose above the eye, shelo yilei shum histaklus bozeh hoilam, that a real observant Jew is not interested in seeing. He knows how much he has to avoid looking at the world, looking at the Olam HaGashmi. There are people who like to go window shopping. I'm not going to buy, I just want to see. What's wrong with looking? That's it. What's wrong with looking? They don't know that 99% depends on the looking. If a person avoids the looking, they have a 99% chance of avoiding all the pitfalls, all the stumbling blocks of this world. And if a person just looked, all of us hear stories daily. You hear all of this talk about the internet, about how much it's affecting thousands or hundreds or millions of people who are being hurt in different ways, Rahman al-Islam, by misusing the internet. A person would say, what's the big deal? Just looking, not eating, not, I just looked. Look how that captivates. Look how captivating, look how powerful the eyes are. Shezeh b'chinas Yosef shenikro oilei ayin. This is why Yosef HaTzadik is defined as oilei ayin. V'al kein, and because he succeeded in mastering the eyes, al kein hu mevatel kol hacherpois v'habushois. That's why he has the ability to eliminate all types of embarrassment and shame. Shehem klal hataivos v'hasitra achra. That's another term that's used to define all of the wrong types of desires of this world and the sitra achra. Again, people, Rahman al-Islam, who overeat that, what happens? It leads to embarrassment. It leads to shame. A person is overweight and people look at them. They know, they feel embarrassed and ashamed. They're ashamed to go out to wear clothes and different things. All of these taivos are all end up in shame. People who fall, Rahman al-Islam, people who fall into taivas noshim, what happens? Suddenly it's in the newspaper, and the person is suddenly full of shame and that they fell. They fell into a temptation. So the term cherpa and busha is another term to define all of these taivas rois and midas rois. And we see by Yosef HaTzadik, it says that his mother gave him the name Yosef because Osaf Elohim es cherposi, Hashem has gathered in my shame. This was referring to her embarrassment in not having any children. That Rachel Imenu went for such a long period of time not having children, and when Yosef HaTzadik was born, that gathered in her shame, that removed her shame and embarrassment. But this was also saying about the future, that a tzaddik is one who gathers in, who's able to remove the shame and embarrassment from Klal Yisrael, in his own personal success against his Yetzer Hara, and is teaching us how to succeed against the Yetzer Hara. V'al kein zocho Yosef letachles habitul b'shleimus. And because of these qualities, because Yosef HaTzadik was able not to look at the Olam Haga, he was able to close his eyes to this world, he was able to achieve incredible bitul, you know, to nullify himself to the physical and to transport himself above it all. This is what gave him the ability to interpret and to resolve Paroi's dream, v'higbir hatoiv al hora. And he was able to provide the solution to have the good win out, win over the bad. Sheva shnei hasoiva al sheva shnei horov. There were 7 good years, 7 years of plentifulness, 7 years of famine. So it's a stalemate, right? Nobody wins. Wrong. Yosef HaTzadik was able to turn it around and be able to use his ingenuity, his knowledge, to be able to know how to use the 7 good years to save up, to be able to cover the 7 bad years. So that the 7 bad years were not 7 bad years for Mitzrayim. Perfect success. Their economy went up to the sky, shot, because they had all the food and the whole world was coming to them to buy food. And this is why the Torah also speaks about the hand of Yosef, that it says Yosef HaTzadik will place his hand upon your eyes. Yodoi daiko. The Torah refers to the hand of Yosef. Bechinas kabolas haTorah. This refers to what we learned in the previous shir, that after a person experiences that beetle, when they're coming back down, they must make sure to bring down new Torah with them. They must be sure to receive new Torah. She'ikar ha-kabolah al-yidei b'chinas yadayim. And we know that usually when a person receives something, they receive it with their hands. B'chinas, as the Pasuk says, when Moshe Rabbeinu brought the Torah down to the Bnei Israel, it says, u'shnei luchos habris al shtei yodai, the 2 tablets on my hands. Bechinas ksuvim be'etzba elokim hanemar b'Torah. And another example of hands, the Torah says that the Torah was written by Hashem's, with Hashem's fingers. So we see the hands play a very important role in this Kabbalah haTorah. Hanemar, exactly, hanemar b'haTorah hanal, which is mentioned in that chapter in Likutei Moran, al Maimar Azal, regarding the statement in the Gemara, where the Gemara speaks about that in the future, the Jews are going to receive such a level of das, such a level of awareness of Hashem, that the kol echod mare be'etzboi, every Jew is going to be pointing with their finger and saying, ze Hashem kivinu lo v'yoshenu. Ze mi, look, there he is, that's him. Pointing, that's the wording in the Gemara, pointing with the finger. Ki ikar hatikun hu al yedei ha-toyra shemekablem achar kach kanal. Because as we explained earlier, even though the bitul is a very special experience, when a person closes their eyes and they nullify themselves completely to Hashem, that's only step one. You don't finish the job until you make sure that after that beetle, you come back with Torah, with new Torah. The haTorah megino al hoinayim. The Torah is what protects the eyes. Shafilu kishechoizrim miyabitul. So even though the person comes back to reality, they're coming back to the real world, which has good and bad and all the problems. Lo yizgabru hasitrachra. The sitrachra will not be able to defeat him. Ki noifeles al yedei haTorah. Because the sitrachra is able to knock down the other side, to defeat the other side, with that Torah. Bebechinas, as the Pasuk says, mitzvas Hashem boro meira senayim. The mitzvahs of Hashem create the light of the eyes. That's why the Torah describes Yosef HaTzadik had the power to place his hands on the eyes to protect them. That even after the person opens his eyes again and he's looking at reality, he's being faced again with all the problems, everything in the world, it's not controlling him in any way. He's controlling it. Nothing is controlling, nothing is pulling him down in any way. The Torah is very specific in the wording that it's using, that the true tzaddik is the one who has this hand over the eyes. Hainu, shafilu kishechoizrim mi'abitul. So that even though, even when the person comes out of the beetle, when they wake up in the morning and they're faced again with reality, reality check, the bills and the this, all the different problems that are facing them when they wake up, that's the concept of opening your eyes, the other side does not have the ability to defeat him, to knock him down in any way. Ki hatzadikim v'haksherim, because the tzadikim and the religious people, I'm sorry, ki yizbatlu al yedei ha-Torah, because all of these problems become nullified through the Torah. Ki hatzadikim v'haksherim, because the true tzadikim and the true religious people, afilu ki shechoizrim me'abitul, even when they come back to earth, after they've had this super high spiritual experience, and they open their eyes, they're not getting ensnared or trapped or caught up in any of the temptations of this world, and allowing their eyes to be chapped, to be grabbed by any of this world, but rather, this Torah that they're studying, this Torah that they're bringing back, gives them the strength to maintain full control of their eyes. So they're watching where they look and where they don't look. This is what gives these tzaddikim the ability to nullify, to wipe out completely all judgments and all suffering and all power of the other side. This is what the Torah is referring to when it describes Yosef HaTzadik, who's the symbol of Tzadik, as one who has the ability to place his hands over the eyes. The hands represent the Torah. That Torah that he brought back with him from the Beitul gives him full control over the eyes. Okay, that's Paro's dream. Now Rav Moshe Zalman moves on to another topic that he's going to connect to this. Paragraph Ches. V'zeh b'chinas tzitzis. And with this we'll understand the mitzvah of tzitzis. Shehem tikkun halavushin, which is the tikkun for all of our clothing, all of our garments. We have this mitzvah of tzitzis, which is a tikkun for all of the clothing that a person wears. Shehem b'chinas hakelim shel hamoichin. The term clothing is used in Sifrei Kabbalah to refer to as vessels. Levushim is a vessel, but my clothing has me inside of it. I'm inside my clothing. So too, when a Jew receives seichel from Hashem, the seichel has to be received inside vessels. Those vessels are referred to as levushim. And again, we're going to see all kinds of explanations and examples of what these kelim and levushim are. Kitzrichim tchilo lesakein ulezakech ma'oid es hakelim shehem alavushim, because before a Jew can receive any knowledge, wisdom, holiness, the person must first prepare and purify very, very much vessels, shehem halavushim, which are the garments, kedei sheyuchlu lekabel oyer hazericho shel rishimo mi'abito lein soif, in order to be able to receive and handle properly the residue of that bright light that the person connected with when they had that beetle. Remember, they went up to a place of ein soif, unbelievable high light. Now they're coming back down. They want to bring a little bit, a drop of that back with them into this physical, materialistic world. What are you going to bring it in? You need a suitcase. You need packaging. You need kelim. You need levushim. V'loy savor v'loy sishkach mehem. So that light will not leave the person totally and be forgotten. Ki kol echot mi Yisrael b'pnimiyis nafshoi hu mishtoikek u'boyer ma'oid ma'oid l'Hashem Yisborach. Zal makes an incredible statement. Because each and every single Jew has an incredible deep yearning for Hashem. Machma shebipnimius, hu mistakel b'chol eis el hatachlis. Because the soul inside of each and every one of us is always thinking about Hashem. It's always looking about Hashem. The soul is not impressed or caught up in any way by the shtuyot of this world. It has no shaychus to it just about. So the soul inside of us is always yearning to Hashem and always focused on the tachlis, shehu oir ha'ein soif, which is this infinite light of Hashem. Shemisham sharoshoi. That's the source of the soul. That's where the soul originates from. Veroitze lihidovek ulihikolosham. And the soul is always wanting to connect there, to be attached to its roots, to Hashem. Ach machma shebechina zois hu tomid bebechinas v'hachayos rotzoi v'shoiv. However, so long as a Jew is living in this physical world, even when a Jew has a very high spiritual experience, even when they have a davening that's fantastic, or any other, or a simchas Torah that's fabulous, or this, that, still, we're living in this world, it's yale v'yavoy. No matter how high you go up, you always got to come back down. It's always v'chayos rotzoi v'shoiv. It's always up and down. U'kishuhu b'chinas v'shoiv. And when the person's coming back down, ein hakelim shel hamoichim, shehim b'chinas halavushim, yecholim lekabel oyer hazricha misham, the vessels, which are the garments, do not have the ability to retain that bright light that the person connected to up there. V'al kein ein loy b'ma lekarer hatzimoyim shelo. So therefore, the person has nothing with which to quench their thirst. The soul is thirsting for Hashem, it's yearning for Hashem. It has this incredible connection back up there, comes back down, but it doesn't have the ability to bring any of that down with it, so it's still in a deep state of thirst. The oz, and in that position, al piroiv nishkach mimenu lagamri. In most cases, most Jews who have some kind of a great spiritual experience, it's forgotten completely shortly afterwards, and they go back to their regular lives. V'al kein, and therefore, hayetzahora v'chayeloisav mizgabren b'Yisrael b'yoser. The Yetzirah and all of his armies fight incredibly against the Jew, because the Yetzirah sees that the Jew is always looking for an opportunity to escape the Gashmi, is to escape the problems, to run away to Hashem, to run to some kind of a spiritual high. Bifrat ba'talmid chachamim haksherim hachafetz mishtekim b'yoisro ha'tachlis, and the Eitz Zohar goes especially after religious people or talmid chachamim who really want Hashem, they really want to be religious, they really want to be good. Shebohem mizgare b'yoiser, the Eitz Zohar fights them the most. He uses his power against them much more than against non-religious people or, you know, non-Jews, etc. As the Gemara says in Sukkah, the Gemara quotes the pasuk Higdil Hashem Lasay Simele, that the Yetzirah goes especially after the religious people and the Talmid Chachamim. Those are the ones we really wants to try, because he knows they're the ones who are looking to get closest to Hashem. Hainu Machmas Bechina Sanal Kanal, based on what we explained earlier. So that Kiyesh Be'inyan Ze Shel Bechinas Bitul. The histaklus el atachlis, kama the kama alofim, the ribe revovois bechinois umadregois be kol odam vodam. Rav Nosson says, because regarding this issue of bitul that we mentioned, and people trying to reach up to Hashem, there are thousands and tens of thousands of levels and differences between each and every single person. Every person has their own ups and downs, and their own thousands of levels of ups and downs of connecting, feeling close to Hashem, feeling far from Hashem, etc. Vafilu ba'odam echad bi'atzmoi, and even within one individual Jew, yesh kama shinuyim ben kol zman veis. There are vast differences at different times. One day a person feels super religious, the next day he thinks the worst. There was an unbelievable episode in Rabbi Nachman's life where he was once at a wedding with his students, and in those days they didn't have the disco stuff we have today, the other stuff, they kept it simple. So they had different acts that they performed at weddings to make the people, to liven things up. So one of the things they would do is they would have a performer, they'd have the room totally dark, and a person would come up dressed in a certain way. And then the room would darken again, and the person would come back dressed totally different. You know, they do this in a very humorous way. So Rabbeinu Zal was at a wedding like this with his students, and he sees the guy come in first time, dressed in white and floating around, obviously portraying an angel, a malach. And in their turf, in their territory, the language was Yiddish. So everybody saw this, they knew, oh, he's a malach. The guy went out, came back 3 seconds later, dressed in black robes, dressed like a galach, like a priest. Malach galach. And everybody's laughing. And other. Rabbi Nachman looked at this, and he turned to his students, and he said, that's us. That's a Jew in this world. Otis min ha-malach, otis min ha-galach. A Jew at 9 o'clock in the morning can be an angel, and at 10 o'clock in the morning can be a priest. That's how the pendulum can swing in our lives. V'al kein, and therefore, tzitzis hu mitzvah rishona baboker. And this is why tzitzis is the first physical mitzvah that we perform in the morning. Shetekef baboker b'hokitzei mishnosoi. That immediately in the morning, when the person wakes up from sleep, shehu b'chinas bitul el atachlis, we said that sleep was an example of one of these out-of-body experiences, where the person lets go of the physical world, and their soul goes up to a higher place. Takef tzrichen lehislabesh batzitzis. We must immediately dress ourselves in tzitzis. Lahamshich oyer hatzitzis. To draw that light of the tzitzis, which means lesaken bechinas hamalbushim. To prepare garments, clothing. Shehem bechinas hakelim, which are vessels. In which to be able to receive and retain a little bit of that light that we tapped in when we had that beetle. We went up to that high place. And this is why the Torah writes about the mitzvah of tzitzis. You will see them, you will look at them. Uzechartem es kol mitzvois Hashem, and you'll remember all the mitzvahs. You'll remember the whole Torah. Ki oyer hatzitzis b'sharoshem nimshach mebechinas histaklus el atachlis shemisham shoresh kol haTorah gnal. Because the light of tzitzis is rooted in that place that a Jew is looking at when he's in that beetle, that infinite light of Hashem, that oyer ein soif. That's where the light of tzitzis originates from. Because in fact, that's where the whole Torah originates from. That's where the light of the whole Torah originates from. Kiner mitzvah v'Torah oyer. The Torah is called oyer. Where does that oyer originate? Where is its source? In that oyer ein soif, that super high level. V'zeh b'chinas tcheles shebetzitzis. Now you'll know one of the most critical parts of tzitzis is that blue string, which is called tcheles. Ki tcheles b'chinas ha-tachlis, because tcheles represents the tachlis, the ultimate future, the ultimate goal. Kimavur b'simen yudches, as Rabbeinu Zal discusses that in chapter 18 in Likutei Moran. And in fact, the Gemara says that why do we wear tcheles? Because tcheles is the blue, is like the blue of the ocean, which reflects the blue of the throne of Hashem, which is where all the souls originate. That's that oyer ein soif. That's way, way up there. V'al zeh nemar, and it's about this that the Torah says, ure'isem oisoi. You will look at it. She'ikroi nemar al hatcheles. The main statement, the ure'isem oisoi, look at it, singular, refers to the tcheles of the tzitzis. Hainu she'tzrichin lirois ulehistakel ma'oid al hatcheles, meaning that a Jew has to see and look very seriously at the tcheles, shehu bechinas hatachlis, which symbolizes the future, the olam haba, the future world, the spiritual realm. As the Gemara says, ki tcheles doyme leyam, tcheles is like the sea, which reflects the throne, ad kisei hakavod, sheshom shoyre kevoido yisborach. That's where Hashem's kavod is, Bechinas oyer ein soif, which is Hashem's infinite light, shehu bechinas hatachlis, which is the ultimate high, the top of the top. There's a pasuk v'ho'oretz he'ira michvoidoi, that kovoid and oyer are synonymous. Those two terms go together. The world shone, was lit up from Hashem's covering. So we talk about the Kiseh HaKovod, that's this Kiseh, that's this light, this great light of Hashem. V'zehu, and this is why in the Parsha of Tzitzis it says, how do you do this? Do not allow your eyes to follow your heart or your eyes, which you stray in following them. Meaning, the Pasuk is saying, be focused. Look straight up. Don't get distracted. Don't look at the sides, at the different sides, at all the distractions of Olam Hazeh. The foolishness of Olam Hazeh, rak yechavein re'iyosoy v'staklusoy l'tachlis levad, but rather to be focused, to be looking one place only, towards the tachlis. Shehu b'chinas tcheles hanal. That's the message in this tcheles. V'yedezeh mamshichim oyer mehatachlis, and it's through this, by performing the mitzvah of tzitzis properly, a person draws some of that light from that very high place, from the tachlis, l'sakein b'chinas hamalbushim, to prepare the garments, shehem hakelim, which are the vessels, k'dei sheyuchlu l'kabel oyer hoshim o'kanal, in order to be able to receive some of that imprint, some of that residue from that bright light, shemishom kol hatoyer o'kanal, because that's where the entire our entire Torah comes from there. This is why the Pasuk says, Ure'isem oisoi, you will look at that tachlis, you know what will happen? Uzechartem es kol mitzvois Hashem. You'll get the whole package, you'll get the entire Torah. Ki kol ha-mitzvois shem klal ha-Torah, nimshochim me'er ha-reshimonal. Because all of the mitzvahs, the entire Torah, a Jew receives it based on that residue of that light that he's able to bring down from that contact that he made with that beetle, you know, with that oirei ein sof. Paragraph 9. V'al kein hukshu kol ha-Torah le-tfilin. Rav Nosson Zal says, now you'll understand also why we find that the entire Torah is compared to tefillin. K'mo she-kosuv, as the Pasuk says, u'le-zikoroin b'nei-necho, that we wear tefillin as a remembrance between our eyes. Why? Lemantia Torah Hashem beficha, so that the Torah of Hashem will be on our lips. Kemo shedorsh razal, as the Gemara elaborates on this in Kiddushin Daf Lamed Hei, showing the connection between the entire Torah and the mitzvah of tefillin. Ki oyer horeshimu min abitul anal hu bechinas tefillin. Because Rav Nosson Zal says now, this light, this little bit of light that a person brings back down when he's coming down from that beetle, that's tefillin. Shehem ikar hadveikus l'Hashem Yisborach. Tefillin represents some of the strongest attachment that a Jew makes to Hashem. The Zohar Kodesh uses the terminology, like when you're in a car, the first thing you do, fasten your seatbelts, right? To be strapped in. The Zohar Kodesh says when a person puts on tefillin, he's strapping Hashem to himself. It quotes the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Melech Osur Borahotim, a king who is tied up with straps. The Zohar Kodesh says that refers to the mitzvah of tefillin. When a person puts on tefillin, he's strapping Hashem to himself. Kaviyochel. Kemuvan bekama mekoimois, as is explained in many places in our writings, that tefillin are a major expression of this oyer horeshimu. V'zeh b'chinas kol ha-toyra v'ha-mitzvois shenimshocha misham. And this is also the concept of the entire Torah and all of its mitzvahs, which come from there, kemavur b'ha-toyra hanal, as Rabbein Azal explains in that chapter on Likutei Moran, al Maimar Azal, on the Pasuk, where it says, v'kol echod mare be'etzboi, that there'll be a time in the future when the Jews are going to see Hashem with such clarity that every Jew is going to be able to point with his finger and say, Zeh Hashem kivinu loy. V'tzitzis hu b'chinas tikin halavushim shehem hakelim. So tefillin is the actual light that the person's bringing back down, whereas tzitzis is the garment, the vessel, Kidei sheyu hakelim zakim, to purify all the vessels, to be masakin the person's entire clothing, v'yuchlu lekabel oyer harishimu, so that they can receive that light of the rishimu, v'loy saver mehem, and not let go of it, not lose it, not have it just disappear quickly. Ki im, now listen to these words. Ki im hoyo ha'odom zoicher heitev, oyer harizrichu shel harishimu azois, because if a person could remember this light that they retain, this residue of the light that they received when they experienced that high closeness to Hashem, which shines for every single person every day, each person on their level, that would keep the person connected to Hashem permanently. Just like the Shulchan Aruch begins with the words Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samet, that's how a Jew is supposed to live his life. Again, you're waking up in the morning, you're starting from page one in Shulchan Aruch. Page one says Shivisi Hashem, that now that you woke up, now that you came back from that super high, you connected with Hashem, now you're ready to be plugged into Hashem 24/7. Ach machmas gashmias va'achiras hakelim eino yochoy lekabel afilu oyer hashimu. However, unfortunately, because most of us are so gashmi, we're so caught up in the materialistic aspects of this world, we can't even receive that. Like we don't even have anything to put that residue into. And because of that, it leaves us and it's forgotten. What's an example of this? What's a perfect example of this? There are many of us that have dreams at night. And some of the dreams, the Gemara says most dreams are nonsense. Some of the dreams are very, very non-nonsensical. Many people, many Jews will tell you that they've had dreams that were awesome. And if they could remember that dream, that could hold them in a very, very high place. But we find, unfortunately, the majority of people, even when they have a special dream, they lose it. They lose it at one point. I remember my rabbi, Zichron Avrocha, Reb Michal Dorfman, Zichron Avrocha, who lived in Russia, Ukraine, and had an unbelievable life of suffering. Extraordinary, extraordinary suffering. And at one point in this suffering, he went to sleep, and he said he had a dream, and he saw Rabbi Nachman in the dream. And he described the whole dream. It's a beautiful, beautiful story. And he said that for years, he said if he would have been an artist, he could have drawn a picture of exactly what he looked like. And he said for years, he kept that picture in front of him, and it held him to a degree. But he said, when I knew him, it was later in his life. And he said, naturally, you know, after a number of years, it faded. It's not the same. It's not the same clarity, et cetera, et cetera. I'm using that just as an example of even a person on a very, very high level who has something that leaves such a deep imprint in his life. But yet, because we're living in a physical world, because all of us are in an Olam HaGashmi, it's so, so hard to retain a high level of light permanently. Al kein, therefore, the Torah commanded us to put on tzitzis every day. The tzitzis purifies all of our garments, all of our clothing, all of our kelim, so that we have clean vessels in which to receive that little bit of light that we have the ability to retain and bring back from that beetle. Shehi klal mitzvos haTorah, which is the sum total of all the mitzvos of the Torah. V'zehu ure'isem oisoi u'zechartem es kol mitzvos Hashem. Ki ha'idei tzitzis, shehem b'chinas tikun klei ha'moichin, because tzitzis, which on a spiritual level represents the tikun of the vessels of the seichel, ha'idei zeh miksheres heitev hazricho shel rishimu b'moyach, that binds that light and the person is able to remember Hashem very, very well. Not to forget that high, not to forget the seven good years, Not to forget the seven fat cows like we had before. Shezeu b'chinas klal mitzvah ha-toyra sheitz misham. Again, to remember Hashem well. What is Hashem? Hashem is all the mitzvahs of the Torah. Kutshebrichu v'oraisa chadu, the Zohar Kodesh says. When we talk about remembering Hashem, we're talking about remembering the entire Torah, being plugged into the entire Torah. V'zeu b'chinas smichas tzitzis utfilin, sheyisroel loiv shem b'chol yom talis utfilin. Now you'll understand why these two are like Siamese twins, why these two go together. We talk about a Jew in the morning putting on talis and tefillin. They go together. Ki tefillin heim b'chinas oyer hazricha shel Rishimo. Because the tefillin are the actual light, that little bit of light that the person is able to bring back from that. V'tzitzis heim b'chinas tikun hakelim v'alavushim. Tzitzis represents preparing the vessels, the garments, so that that light should be contained in vessels, locked in vessels, it shouldn't just evaporate, disappear. As we say in the Kriya Shema, leman tizkeru, Hashem wants you to remember. When a Jew feels a deep connection to Hashem, Hashem doesn't want you to forget about it a minute later. He wants you to remember it. Bechinas ureisem oisa zechatem. Now you'll understand also why the order is first talis and then tefillin. First, we prepare the vessels so that there's a place to receive that light from the reshimu. And then you turn on the faucet. Then you draw that light. Shehem b'chinas tefillin, shehem ikar hadveikus bo yisborach. Tefillin, the word tefillin, Rabbein Azal brings in the Likutei Maran, that tefillin is associated to the word when Naftali was born, she said, Naftulei Elokim niftalti imachosi. Now I became deeply attached to my sister. Now I'm matching with my sister. Now we're like Siamese twins. So the word tefillin means dveikus. So tefillin is that light itself, that bit of light that we're able to bring back from that tremendous high. Shenimshach me'or hazriku, me'or hazricha. V'alkein mitzvah tefillin gam kein bo enayim. And now you'll understand why, besides tzitzis, talking so much about the eyes and looking, we find the eyes, even though where do you wear tefillin? We don't wear tefillin between the eyes. We wear tefillin on our forehead. What's all of this nonsense about Beinei Necha? And the Karaites were able to interpret that literally and wear the tefillin over here. Why did the Torah do that? Why mention eyes related to the tefillin? Kama yishakosuv ule toitofo is Beinei Necha, ki ikar oyer hatefillin nimshach al yidei tikan hoinayim. Because this light of tefillin, which represents that the reshimu, is dependent most on the eyes. On the ability of the Jew to see beyond the physical, beyond the materialistic, to see into the tachlis, to see up to the kisei hakovod. Shemishom mamshichim oyer hazricha shel reshimu. It's from there that we bring down that shining light of the reshimu, hanishar misham, which remains from there. Shemishom oyer hagodol shel tefillin. That's where this great light of tefillin comes from. Paragraph Yud. V'alkein, and therefore, hamitzvah b'tcheles. That's why the mitzvah of tzitzis is specifically with tcheles, the ikar mitzvah. Shehu hischabrus shochor velovon kiyadua. The blue color of tcheles, the Sifrei Kabbalah tells, is a combination of black and white. That blue is a mix of black and white, as is known. And as Rabbein Azal elaborates on this in chapter 18 in Likutei Maran, Hainu bechinas klal ha-Torah. This refers to the entire, that symbolic black and white are another word for the Torah. Shehu b'chinas eish shchoyra gabi eish levona. This week's parsha, v'zois habrocha. Rashi mentions it in this week's parsha, on one of the psukim, that the Torah was written black fire on white fire. Ki kol ha-Torah Nimshach Mishon. Because the entire Torah that a Jew is going to study throughout the day, or the entire Torah period, where does it come from? It comes from the Tcheles, it comes from the Tachlis. It comes from that Oyer Ein Sof of Hashem. It originates up there from the highest, highest place, Mebechinas Histaklus El Tachlis, from a Jew's ability to look beyond the physical world, to look past that, and to look at the Tachlis. Shehi Bechinas Tcheles, Shemitzvah Leroy Saitom. That's the union of Tcheles, where the Torah says, what do you do with Tcheles? You eat it? You write? No, Tcheles, you look at Ure'isema, look at it. Kamashakosav Ure'isemoisai, Uzachatem is called Mitzvahs. Look at how Rav Nosson Zal is taking the chapter in Likut Imran, and look at how he's looking through the Torah and seeing where does the Torah focus on looking. And he's able to weave together to show how the spiritual concepts that Rabbeinu Zal is discussing in Likut Imran, how it's tied into the Lemaisa, the Maisa HaMitzvahs that we perform on a day-to-day basis, it's all one. And when a Jew performs these mitzvahs, if he knows this Torah, then he performs these mitzvahs on a much higher level. He's thinking about some of this, and he's realizing some of this, and he realizes that tzitzis is not just something that costs 50 shekels. It's not a physical thing. This is a spiritual package. This is something that sets me apart from the rest of the world. This is something that gives me the potential to take off, to go way above all the shtiyot of this world. If a person doesn't know this Torah, as long as they're performing the mitzvah, following the halacha, doing it lamaisa, all of these tikkunim are being accomplished to a certain degree, on a certain level, automatically, by the performance of the mitzvah. Naturally, the more a person knows, the more they are nichlal in Hashem kavyohu. The Rambam uses the wording ilu yedativ heyitziv. If I would understand Hashem, I would be Hashem. And he uses that in the sense that the more and more a person learns about Hashem, the more a person wants to learn and understand more and more about Hashem in Yiddishkeit, the more that person kaviyochel merges with Hashem, becomes part of Hashem, becomes nichlal in Hashem.